everybody enjoys. In fact, I've noticed in most meetings where charities are involved or churches are involved, it takes about 30 seconds before people's eyes glaze over once they see the accounts. So this is going to be very brief. What you're getting out, being given now, is a very brief summary of the income and expenditure during 2012. I haven't given all the details, but for instance, if you look at the income, there's a figure general there, and that has included things such as a couple of £1,000 came in from the Gobacca Trust, with a couple of payments from the United States totaling about £2,500. People who travel to Kibagora often pay for their accommodation and travel and so on in the UK, and then it's remitted in a lump sum. And there's about £4,500 there. So that general figure involves both giving plus money that's been given to us for various reasons. You'll see that one of the biggest sources of income is in fact sponsor a bed. That's the monthly payments that people make. They vary in size from £5 a month up to 80. But that's a great source of income, because it gives us that stability of knowing that there's a reasonable amount coming in. A gift day here at Fulwood raised £6,300, with almost £3,000 back in gift aid, which is actually a low figure for last year, because a lot of it came in this year, and we've already had £8,000 in gift aid into the accounts this year. So that's the situation there. There are one or two specific gifts to be used for the elderly. You'll also see on there that events, these are a couple of fundraising events which were held last year. The income was £12,971, and if you look down in expenditure, those events cost £4,500, so there was quite a nice profit on those fundraising events. There's one or two things at the bottom which you probably think, what on earth is this to do with Kibagora? Visa trip to Ecuador. It's nothing whatsoever to do with Kibagora, but we happen to use this particular account for trips that are being made abroad, so that at least it's controlled within one account. A couple of years ago, we used this account for a trip of volunteers to Rwanda, and as I got the experience of dealing with this, well, why not use somebody's experience for Ecuador, even though it's nothing to do with Rwanda? We've also this year had individuals who are paying towards scholarships for pastors at the new university. And so that's another figure that's there, pastor scholarships. You'll see that we haven't spent as much as we've had income. That's because we're paying over an academic year, and quite a lot of people gave up front. In fact, some of that income is to cover 4 years. So that's why there's that disparity. And then you'll see university, and that almost balances out with the figure for expenditure. That simply is materials that have been bought for the university and so on, that people have been giving for the university in Kibagora. People giving the cost of their airfare and so on. And so what we've done there, we've paid the bills, they've made the donation to cover what they were giving, and from our point of view, that's an enormous advantage, because you'll see there that figure of 5,227 means that we can claim back something like £1,300 in gift aid, because people have gifted to us the costs that we have already met. So it's a kind of balancing activity where the two figures are almost identical. Expenditure, again, the figure of 31,000 includes sending remittances of money that's come to us from other places. It also includes £2,500 that have been passed through this account for a container for Northern Ireland, and gifts to help with a container going from Northern Ireland. Sponsor a bed, you'll see expenditure higher than income. That's partly because we were slightly down the year before, and also that the gift aid that we hadn't yet got has been spent, so that we keep a reasonable balance on that. A couple of small amounts there where a few years ago you'll remember that we were responsible for building some housing for the Batswa people, and there's a small amount there to continue helping there, doing small repairs, helping with various things. And Chazzo, that's a kindergarten that we've been helping for a number of years. It's only a small amount, but small amounts for a kindergarten make a big difference, and that's what that figure is. If there are no more questions, there haven't been any yet, get the hint. If there are questions, I'll try and take them now. I've tried to make that as brief as I can. If there's anything you really don't understand and you don't want to bore everyone with here, catch me at the end and I'll try and explain things to you in a bit more detail. You took the hint.
The funds that are raised by the Kibagora Initiative are used primarily in two areas. Within the hospital to provide medication and treatment for those who cannot pay, and to make possible the provision of social services within the local community. The groups most in need in both cases are the very young and the very old. There are two new initiatives which are being developed at the hospital. The first is within the ongoing malnutrition program. This young man on the screen is almost 5 months old, and as you can see, he weighs just over 2 kilos. He's got a bit of catching up to do. When a malnourished child comes into the program, they're given an appropriate amount of nutrition over a period of usually 2 to 3 weeks. And unless there are underlying medical conditions, the child is ready to be discharged and go home. Unfortunately, we found that a fairly high percentage of these children are readmitted within 2 years for malnutrition. A system has been set up where a responsible adult in the village who has successfully raised her children and is encouraged to take the mother of the malnourished child under her wing and to teach and advise on childcare and nutrition. This is supervised and supported by visits from hospital staff. If necessary, additional food is supplied and a small payment is made to the person that is doing the training. By doing this, the number of readmissions have dropped by over 50%. The second new initiative is for patients who have untreatable conditions and limited life expectancy. In the past, these people were simply discharged and sent home to die. There is now a palliative care team at the hospital which visits the patient's home prior to them being discharged to talk with family and friends and try to make adjustments needed to accommodate the return to the family with a limited life expectancy. When the patient has gone home, members of the palliative care team visit on a regular basis to give support and advice to the family and to ensure that the patient is being correctly medicated. The patient is also visited by the chaplaincy team to ensure that they are supported spiritually. Kibagora is the first hospital in Rwanda to offer a service of this type, and the Ministry of Health is monitoring the progress being made with the intention of introducing a similar scheme into other hospitals, although the spiritual aspect of the process is not high on the government's priority list. The Kibagora Initiative, together with other partners, are encouraging the hospital to keep the physical, spiritual, and social needs of the patients at the heart of all they do. This is why we support the programmes that affect the most vulnerable. As more and more staff are sent to the hospital by the government, who may or may not be Christian, we feel this is an essential part of our mission. There are instances of patients being abandoned by their family once they've been admitted to hospital, simply because they have no money for either medication or food to keep them going while they're in hospital. We try to make funds available in all instances to ensure that these patients are treated and fed until they're well enough to be discharged. We are very heavily involved in the community care of the elderly and the physically and mentally handicapped. The care of the elderly has developed from the once-a-month gathering where food is distributed to include supporting individuals with specific needs, such as providing new roofing materials for their houses, or in some cases, totally rebuilding the house. In the cases of the physically handicapped, trying to ensure that they have the support needed to enable them to live in the community. This could not be done without the support, again, of the hospital chaplaincy team, who do wonderful follow-up work once the patient has gone home. We continue to support the work with the Batwa in the village we built outside Gatari. We recently repaired some roofs which were damaged by high winds and rebuilt a toilet that had collapsed. That was the £300 that Dawn mentioned in the accounts. In 2011 and 12, we shipped a container which had staff uniforms, sheets, blankets, towels, a dentist chairs, defibrillators, and a host of other medical equipment. We also facilitated a container from Northern Ireland, which had more equipment for the hospital and for the new university. There have been a record number of twins born last year and two sets of triplets, all doing well. We had a very sad situation of a baby which was abandoned and dumped in a stream. Fortunately, the child was found and it was taken to the neonatal unit, where it has made a full recovery. The mother was found and is being given help to enable her to cope with the responsibility of having a child. There has also been an unusual incident of the ambulance travelling from an outlying health centre down the length of Lake Kivu, got to Kibogora Hospital, and the brakes failed as it was slowing down in front of the A&E department, and it crashed straight through the wall. Fortunately, there was no one in the department at the time. Had the brakes failed on the journey down the side of the lake, there would have been a very high chance of serious injury or death. There is an urgent need to redevelop the hospital to enable it to continue meeting the needs of the community into the future. An outline plan has been produced by the Christian charity EMI, which shows how the hospital could be redeveloped at a cost of over £5 million. To this end, the hospital has purchased two additional pieces of land. So far, no one has come forward with the £5 million to enable the whole project to be proceeded, but if this is in the Lord's plan, it will happen. We have seen many examples over the last 10 years while I've been involved in Kibogora of projects being started without a penny in the bank, and miraculously the money appeared and they were came to fruition. So we don't have to worry about it, we just got to pray about it. Now, the American Global Fund have begun building a new laboratory and an additional isolation ward. This is specifically to meet the needs of the projects that they sponsor. Another American group are in discussions regarding rebuilding the maternity and the neonatal facilities, and CAHO, our sister group in the US, have been given funds towards the redeveloping of the pediatric ward. The trick here will to be encourage all of these groups to build, but to keep what is built within the overall design rather than ending up with the house that Jack built. On a recent visit to Kibogora, Dave Harrison made an excellent video which illustrates the need for the expansion of the hospital, which has been on the website for some time. Some of you may well have seen it. Currently, most of the wards have 2 patients per bed, and that is particularly bad in the maternity. There are 2 very large pregnant women, head to toe, in each bed. Those of you who have been in that situation, well, I don't think anyone has ever been in that situation, but you can imagine the chaos that that caused and the potential for cross-infection. It is not good. A new problem is that there is now a new tarmac road all the way through the forest right up to Chazzo. But that brings its own problems in that there have been a growing number of serious road accidents. As cars are travelling much faster and the standard of driving and car maintenance leaves a lot for improvement. The A&E department is much too small to cope with more than 6 casualties at a time. And there have been a number of instances where a minibus has been involved and you end up with 12 to 15. One other major development that has taken place in the last year is the opening of the new university at Kibagora. Dave Hamlin has been appointed rector for the new institution, the official name of which is the Kibagora Polytechnic. David is currently in Rwanda, so it falls to me to give a brief report on the progress being made. The new institution was opened on the 12th of September last year, but at that time, the only courses that had been approved were health science and theology. The education, rural development, economics and management courses were not finally approved till the end of October. The total number of students enrolled for the first year was 260, well below the target number. This was due in large part to students taking up places at other institutions when Kibagora's courses were not approved. Hopefully, the situation will sort itself out when the new academic year begins in September. The library is now fully functioning. It has a large number of books coming from the UK in the last container. The IT lab is now fully hooked up with over 30 PCs connected to the internet, although the speed of the connection could be a little better. The health science students will stream to the nursing and midwifery departments at the end of the first semester, and they will take placements at Kibagora and Bushengi hospitals and at local health centres. Virtually all of the theology students are bursary funded through the campaign David launched through the Free Methodist Churches. We should have a picture of our students. Oh yeah, way behind. There we are. No doubt David will be looking for additional funds for bursaries before September, before the new student year starts, so you have been warned. In addition to the video that Dave Harrison made when he was out as a fundraiser, he made a second one, and tonight is the world premiere. Thank you.
Dave and Naomi are here. Well done. One of the things that became obvious to us involved in Kibagora, and I guess to everybody who's been, is that there are lots of people involved, lots of organisations, lots of Christian groups, but none of us were talking to each other. And about 2 years ago, it became evident that we really needed to get our act together there. And in the previous years to last August, we spent some time trying to get a strategic partnership together where we could add some synergy to what we were doing so we could cooperate and add value together that way. And we met last August, and you see the, hopefully, there we go. No, that's not us. There's a group of us got together to agree a protocol as to what we were going to do. And every quarter, we send each other a report as to what we've done. And the main participants in this are, first of all, the Central Africa Health Organization. This is an organization which is really driven in the States by the Snyder family and the Snyder family have been involved and committed in Kibagora for many years. They have been involved in sending doctors out on training. They are very much a medical group. They've also sent a thing called a dermatome unit, which you and I might not make a lot of sense of, but it's actually a thing that does skin grafts. And as I understand it, at the moment, it's the only one in Rwanda. But enables a lot of burns and serious damage to be fixed with skin, stuff we take for granted, but is actually been taken out. In the container that went out, John didn't actually say, but the last container but one that went out, there was £200,000 worth of equipment that we'd got donated, we'd acquired, or one way or another had got itself into that container, went out to the hospital. Things that would be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to buy. We've been training with Carho, some of the doctors there, and people out in Ethiopia doing training at the moment. Carho, incidentally, also sent a donation to help support Dave and Naomi's work when they were out in Kibagora as well. A lot of things happening there with Carho. Also, with the Free Methodist World Missions are helping to facilitate and support things that are happening. What happens with the UK conference, things that we do? We support Sheila's salary, which is now just down to 3 days a week while she spends time caring for her dad. We spent £2,000, we sent £2,000 to the hospital. These things might sound like drops in the ocean, and in £1 million budget, which is what the hospital has, they are. But it's the old thing that every little bit really does help. We work with the bishop, and particularly with regards to the Free Methodist Church in Rwanda, who help with providing visas and support, technical assistance there, making us at home. One of the things that's also happening, interestingly, is with the hospital itself. We have some agreed protocols that we're trying to do. One of the things that the hospital is seeking to do is increase its standards of governance. You have the standards of governance for basically a small dispensary now running a 240-bed hospital. It's not fit for purpose. And so we're trying to help them with doing things like that, which will help make the hospital run smoother. The sort of things that the expertise from members of the strategic partnership can help and give advice on. As far as the Kibagora initiative, you've heard the things that are happening there. The Kibagora mission report. Last year they had 840 visitors onto the mission compound, all of whom people seeking to serve Christ one way or another on that site. There's 29 staff on the compound which have to be paid, looked after, gardeners, workers, laundry people, house cleaners, zamus, the people that keep you safe at night. And one of the big needs on the mission compound at the moment is that the Rwandan government have rightly said that we will not have houses which have asbestos roofs. And two of the houses on the mission compound have got asbestos roofs. It's going to cost something like £10,000 apiece to change those and get the asbestos sorted out and safely removed and new roofs put on. So these are the sorts of things that we're working together on as a strategic partnership to add value. There are other people that are doing things as well. There's a group from Germany that are financing another worker on the site, Edie, a nurse that you may have met if you've been. She's going to be working there in the future. We meet again in November to account to each other for what we've done, to try to plan together for the coming year so that we can add value to what's happening in Kibagora and ensure that Kibagora is sustainable and it moves forward into the future on a really solid and a Christian footing. That's our objectives for the Better Together initiative and partnership. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. So it gives us great pleasure to introduce Bishop Samuel. I know Crown Lane had the privilege of Samuel preaching on Sunday morning, and Samuel preached on peace here Sunday evening, and we appreciated that. But he's going to share a little bit about his perspective and maybe some challenges for us. You've got challenges. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think a lot have been said, but as I said, Sunday night, Kibogora Hospital has been like a mustard seed which you planted, and it is now largest of garden plants, and the birds of the air come and perch it in its branches. This year, I think it's a kind of repetition, but we had a palliative care program, and a team of 12 has been trained, and they are now implementing the program, learning to base the activities on patient need, not department calendars or availability of resources. Hospital and the community nurses have also now been trained, and the program is currently taking care of 35 patients. In the community program, 33 households with elderly, physically or mentally support is being given. Two homes have been bought and another rented for those who needed them. For the prevention of malnutrition community program and the treatment of malnutrition at the hospital is making an impact and reducing the numbers of serious malnutrition in our area. Scholarships. The scholarship selection committee made recommendations for 9 new scholarships for the year 2013-2014, pending the finalization of admission and budget details. These were submitted to the management committee for approval. Chaplains, with the addition of a new chaplain, Pastor Eliazar, Pastor Wakana, Michelle, Tamar, and Martha are continuing to do a great job. Lots of vision and plan have been drawn up, and reports of patients and their family members giving their lives to the Lord while at Kibogora Hospital is a great encouragement. Visit to local churches with the hospital choir are made, and the same churches now visit the hospital along with the local school choirs. We have two high schools near Kibogora, Frank Adamson High School and John Wesley Institute High School. Leadership development, management skills, and systems are being put in place by training and the development in each department. The nursing leadership team are being encouraged and assisted to develop good and excellent nursing practices, improving patient care, and of course, the UK conference, UK Free Methodist Church have contributed directly to the National Free Methodist Church Pastoral Training Program. For an other side, we Free Methodist Church of Rwanda has a link with Wolverhampton, Shrewsbury District of Methodist Church in the UK. They contributed on isolation building in Kibogora Hospital, that is not this year, and they contributed on pastoral training center building in Kigali, and they support Free Methodist Church of Rwanda to train our ministers in service training, because we have a program of training our ministers. We have four sites, one in the west, one in the center of the country, one in the northwest, and another one in the east. We have a link with one church in Wolverhampton. St. John's Methodist Church has a link with one of parish, our parish. This is Shara Church, not far from Kibogora. We have a goat project, cow project to help people. And we have a link with schools. Three schools in Wolverhampton have a link with our schools, and two schools in Beckwell have a link with our schools. We, Methodist Church in Beckwell is helping to build a health center in the village. It's about 30 kilometers from Kibogora, and they support one student who is doing his master's in Uganda. Thank you so much. May God bless you. We, as I said, we have a program, a project that we on cow, and this is to bring together survivors of the genocide. Thank you so much. Yeah, this is a program in unity and reconciliation to strengthen peace in our communities. And we have a program that we give cows, a cow to two families or two persons. One is survivor of the genocide, another one is his or her protector during the genocide. And we give cow to the survivor of genocide, and his or her turn, he gives that cow to his or her protector. And they share this cow. They share milk, and when the cow will give a calf, the calf will be back to the survivor of genocide, and they will continue to strengthen the relationship, friendship. It's a kind of recognition, and to say thank you so much for trying to help me, because the protectors protected people during the genocide under great risk. Because when the killers found that you protected someone, they forced you to kill him, or they kill him or her and you. But they tried and they succeeded to protect the people, to hide them, to feed them, and to find a way, because this is the area near the Lake Kivu. They found the boat to transport them to the Congo. That is a program. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Samuel. Just for those of us who don't culturally connect with the cow thing, you need to understand how valuable cows are in Rwanda. One cow is worth one woman. Okay? Seriously? Now, if you want to know how valuable that is, it is bride price. That if a man wants to marry a woman, he must pay one cow. That's bride price. It would normally take him something like 20 years to pay bride price. So that's how precious and how meaningful it is. We live in a culture where cows don't mean a lot unless they're on a plate to us. But for them, it's a great, great source of wealth and also of honour and pride. Thank you, Bishop. You need to understand Bishop is speaking in his third language, and which is fantastic. He preached here on Sunday night, and it was so good when we had prayer meetings on Tuesday, 7 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at lunchtime. We went back through his sermon and prayed it through, and so it was a good impact on the whole subject of God's peace, his shalom in our lives. Bishop also mentioned choirs. And again, culturally, we don't get choirs. Last time I was out in Rwanda 2 years ago, I was talking to a pastor, and he asked me, how many kind of choirs have you got in your church? And I said, well, we don't have any. And he said, but how can you have a church without a choir? And when we shared, and I got to understand more, in many churches, they have quite a lot of choirs. The reason being that choirs are a means of fellowship and a means of discipleship. So for us to think of home groups would be a much better parallel to understand how choirs work within the community of the church. So again, when Bishop mentions choirs, we just think, oh, choirs. But it's a lot more important than that. Choirs are community, they are fellowship. And for many pastors, it's one of their main means of helping with discipleship. So this part of the program is a question time. I don't know if you've got any questions or not, but I'm not the guy to answer them. But I know that John and Don and Ian and Bishop Samuel will. Any questions, any thoughts? If you don't ask questions, I'll preach. So. Wait a minute. No, I can't.
Can that young gentleman over there tell us? What? Could you tell us how much the milk the cow would give per, you know, at one milking time?
No. Right, which normally in UK, Edward, how many? 5 or 6 gallons in a milking. So that's not a lot, no.
And they will feed the cow in the evening with the grass they've collected during the day. So, and there's no additives, there's no supplements. It's purely what they can get. When we had a project, I made the mistake of saying, why don't you feed corn to your chickens? I was one step of being taken out and shot. They didn't have enough corn to make bread, so why would they feed it to a chicken? If the chicken can't find its own worms and grubs in the thing, then it deserves to starve. That's basically it. So it's a very different situation.
Has anybody got any more agricultural questions? Sorry, Ian.
Okay. I noticed on one of the photos that somebody was having some goats. So are goats very popular in Rwanda? Do people use goats a lot for food or milking? How are goats out in Rwanda?
Yeah, goats are very important. They're the protein source. If you have a little money, you have a goat. And when it produces kids, your wealth goes up. You have bottom of the heap are rabbits, then chickens, then goats, then pigs, then cows. That's about it. So to have goats, again, the same thing. It's what in Jamaica they call long pasture, the strip of grass at the side of the road. And you'll see the kids with 20 or 30 goats chasing them with a stick.
Can I ask one more question as well? You said that English is your third language. So is your second language French? And therefore, if a person was going out there regularly, would you recommend that they did a French course? Would that help them? Or are more people speaking English now?
I can answer that one. To speak French now in Rwanda, and I'm very glad to answer this, is politically incorrect. But Bishop Samuel will tell you a little bit more. So,
Thank you so much. It's not incorrect because we have three official languages now. Kinyarwanda, this is a mother tongue, French and English. But we mostly, nowadays, we use English, even if we are struggling with the language, but we use English. The French is spoken by also few people, educated people. If you are in villages, you can't speak French or English. You speak Kinyarwanda.
What happened was about 4 or 5 years ago, I think Paul Kamembe, who is the president, he's been determined to bring Rwanda into the technological age and so committed the whole country to English. But that was literally an overnight transformation. So many people were told no more French reports, they have to be English, and people were just struggling to catch up with that. But it's happening. Any other questions at all? Yeah.
When you shipped a container, did it come into Mombasa at all, or how did it get out?
Well, John will tell you.
No, we don't ship via Mombasa, we ship via Dar es Salaam. And then it goes on a truck for 3 days. You get it easier through Dar es Salaam, although the port congestion in Mombasa has eased a great deal in the last 5 years. They've doubled the size of the port. So it is, I hope it's okay, because I've got a container going through there next week.
I'm interested in what is the Free Methodist Church like in Rwanda?
Okay, that's a great question. Thanks, Penny. Bishop, the question is, can you give us an update on the health of the Free Methodist Church across Rwanda?
Free Methodist Church in Rwanda is growing. We It started in 1942 in the Kibogora area, but now Free Methodist Church in Rwanda is everywhere in the country. We have now 6 annual conferences, and we have 156 parishes around the country, and around 600 local churches, more than 100,000 members, schools, primary schools, high schools, and now university. Free Methodist Church in Rwanda is growing. Thank you.
It's more a comment, really. I'm the wife of Dave Hamblin, who's setting up, helping with a lot of help and support from people like the bishop, the local mayor, the hospital, helping set up Kibagora Polytechnic. I'd just like to say I was out in February, and the pastors do an evening course because obviously they're so busy, and they have your scholarships. They're ever so grateful in prayer that we got 21 bursaries for them because they can't afford the fees. One of them had to give up. He was walking 70 kilometres from the forest. People know who I mean. And it was just impossible. But 5 of them are still walking to get there every evening, 15K each way. And they walk together. And that's how much they value, you know, coming under... It's Superintendent Simeon, isn't it, who's one of the key tutors. And also, do pray for the students, because all the teaching is in English, and the teachers who are Rwandan have to teach in English. And this is the generation who, you know, they are fluent in French. They're caught in between, because it's the primary schools, isn't it, that they learn English now. So every student there, we've had to train them. They get English language classes. Also, they've never seen a computer, and they have to get computing skills. So if any of you can teach English, you know, I'm sure, and you want to visit, do go out. But they are so dedicated with all, you know, they're learning in a third language, and they do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
One of the things, if I could add as well, one of the great needs in the hospital is for doctors who've got some experience of surgery. There are hardly any surgeons in Rwanda. Most of the surgery is done by expats going out there for 3 or 6 or 9 or 12 months or whatever. And it's an issue of trying to train up local doctors, which is really, really important. So if you know anybody... who particularly has surgical skills and is looking to fill 6 months of their time, then we know just the place you could send them.
Just we're drawing to a close, and I think it's fantastic if we take some time to pray. A couple of thoughts. Some of you have been out to Rwanda. It was fantastic on Sunday night because I asked Fulwood folk to stand. And I guess about 30 folk would have stood in the Sunday evening. But I was telling Bishop today that I think probably over 50 people from Fulwood have been out to Rwanda. You are not too old to do a short-term visa trip. You really are not. So don't use that as an excuse. You are not too poor. So don't use that as an excuse either. But one of the best ways of growing your heart for mission is to get out there. John Halley, bless him, was telling me on Sunday that it's 10 years ago, and I've stood in the spot where God challenged John Halley. It's a little place out in Wales, and he was, should I go, shouldn't I go, should I go, shouldn't I go? And 10 years later, John and Carol are still going out there because God has grown their heart, as he does for many people. So I think people, one of the best ways of going is in short-term mission teams, visa teams, we call them. But a couple of challenges within that. We have said, and we encourage you, partly to protect Sheila, but if you would like to go out there, the Kibagora Initiative Working Party that Don represented when he brought the financial report, they have become, if you will, a screening agency, so that if you want to go out and work out there, then we would encourage you. And Sheila, if you talk to her and say, oh, I want to come work out there, Sheila will gently and politely say, would you please go and have an interview with the Kibagora Working Party, because we need to know people who are going are people who can genuinely deliver what they say they can deliver. It's appropriate. And it's done with the right kind of backup and support for you if you're going. But the best way is to go in a visa trip. I think there may be, certainly we're looking and praying about one from Fulwood next year. I heard that Lancaster may be thinking about one for next year as well. And piggyback them, go, it's worth going. But the challenge is this, and this is something Bishop Samuel challenged me with today. And he said, you're committed to the hospital, that's great. You're committed to the university, that's great. Why don't you commit yourselves to a church? And that challenged me, because we believe that God's church is the hope for the world. And he's saying, why don't you partner with a church? Now, I've been out and I've preached in several of the churches, and I can just imagine a visa trip, working in the hospital for a week and then getting out in the sticks and working out in one of the churches for a week. I don't know. But for those of you who represent mission teams from other Free Methodist churches tonight, maybe that's something to begin to pray about, that you might go out there and work with the hospital or the university, but go and partner with the church as well. Pray for them and encourage them. That's just a thought. I'm going to take 5 minutes to pray. If you just get in small groups, turn around, and whatever you've heard tonight that just spoken to you, or you, as you're praying, just quickly bring that before the Lord and ask for God's blessing and for God's grace on the work and the ministry and on his church in Rwanda. Let's turn around into small groups. Pray together. So, yeah.